Howdy friends, welcome back to Bloody Bazaar.
My name's Emma.
I'm Sarah.
How's everyone going?
They're not going to answer you.
Well, I'll tell you now, Sarah is not doing well.
No, I'm not.
She's currently supine.
We've set up the mic so that I can be lying down on the couch. It's great.
She has a bit of a crampy stomach, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but nothing has come of it yet, so...
Nothing's,
you know, come through the other side.
We are without Sarah's children today, but somehow they still are affecting the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the bug is from Abby, whatever it is. She caught it probably from daycare.
All right. Well, anything you want to say at the beginning?
Just that I've been a bit slack with the Instagram, you know, due to various illness. So I'm sick now, but Abby was sick the other week, and our house has been hectic. So,
okay, great.
So that is all to say that I just haven't been on the Instagram as much, but I updated it yesterday, I think, or the day before, so it's up to date now. Sorry.
And I guess once this sickness leaves, it'll be back to normal.
Maybe.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to get started then.
Okay.
Today I'm telling you about the disappearance of Andrew Gosden. My sources are Wikipedia, yahoofinance.com, Reddit. There's a very active Reddit thread on this case. It's still yesterday it was being updated.
Okay.
The dailytelegraph.com.au, bbcnews.com, and the YouTube channel Missing People.
Okay.
So our case today takes place in 2007.
Right.
So, not too old. Andrew Paul Gosden, known to his family as Roo, was born on the 10th of July, 1993.
Oh, same age as you.
A banner year for births.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew grew up in Balby, a suburb of Doncaster in South Yorkshire. Andrew's parents, Kevin and Glennis, are both committed Anglican Christians, but they hadn't baptised Andrew or his sister Charlotte because they didn't want to impose their views on their children.
Oh, that's nice. I know. That's a nice thought.
Yeah, I was thinking it's like quite rare. Anyway, they seem like nice people. So throughout his youth and adolescence, Andrew had actually attended church. He decided to attend church, but about 18 months prior to his disappearance, he'd actually stopped. And he'd also been a Cub Scout, but a few months earlier, he'd told his father he would, quote, no longer involve himself with the group.
How old was he?
So he's like 14, I think, at this time.
Okay. I mean, I guess that is a time period where you're kind of like creating your identity or discovering your identity and
figuring out who you are and like what you want to do. And also things like hormones start to play and like...
And maybe kind of been like... No, that's lame. I don't want to do that anymore.
I don't want to associate with those dorks.
Yeah.
But you're going to hear that Andrew doesn't really sound like that kind of kid. But anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, yes, there's a lot of change going on in a kid's life at 14. His family described him as, quote, a home bird, which meant that he rarely left the house. And when he did, he always told his family where he was going.
Yeah.
At school, Andrew was really gifted. He attended Macaulay Catholic High School, where he had a 100% attendance record. He was also in the Young, Gifted and Talented program at the school, which only the top 5% of students are admitted to. And he was a prize-winning mathematician. And in his upcoming GCSEs, he was expected to get all A's. So a really smart kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think for anyone in Australia, GCSEs are like your ATARs or your...
Or your TEEs if you're a bit older.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or your... what is it?
What was it before TE?
I don't know. Your final school exam.
Yeah.
Your like entrance score.
If you want to go to uni.
For uni, yeah. Because it's a different term in over East as well.
Oh, God.
I don't know what it is though. And he actually had his sights on, he wanted to attend Cambridge.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Prestigious.
Yes. Despite all of this, he was described as having a neutral attitude about school, and he was hoping that the upcoming school term would provide more of a challenge for him.
So he was a bit bored.
Yeah, because he was said to have cruised through his education thus far, really kind of not challenging him at all.
Yeah.
Andrew didn't really discuss his school life with his parents. His teachers characterised him as shy, quiet, a young man who was mature beyond his years.
Yeah.
Seemed like a nice student.
A pleasure to have in class, they would have written on his...
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Are you saying that because you got that on your scorecard?
Well, they tend to write that on, quiet kid who... Yeah.
Just shuts up.
Shuts up and does their work, yeah. A pleasure to have in class. But yes, I did.
During the 2006 summer holidays, Andrew attended a two-week residential school at Lancaster University as a part of the Young, Gifted and Talented program. The summer school was for children from all over the UK, aged 11 to 16, who, as I said, were in the top 5% academically. Andrew's parents recalled that he returned from that summer school really enthused about what he was doing and kind of like he found it stimulating.
That's cool.
Yeah. Andrew was described as being happy with his own company, but he was not a loner at his school. He had his own small group of like-minded friends, and Andrew's family says that he didn't socialise with his friends outside of school, though. So I think it's like he had school friends, and that was fine, but he just enjoyed his own company at home.
Yeah.
Andrew apparently exhibited no signs of depression, and there were no indications that he'd been subjected to bullying. But I don't know. I know myself at 14, I was hiding a lot from mum and dad.
Yeah, I was going to say it's...
Like, it's not...
Tricky to know.
Yeah.
If that's just his parents saying that, then it's
yeah,
hard
but
to
then
know.
They... So I've read in a lot of places that the police did talk to his friends and stuff as well, and there was no indications of any issues. But then if he's not socialising with his friends much...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'll go on to talk a little bit later on. It's not like his parents are in denial about anything.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just tell you now, and I guess trigger warning, we do discuss suicide a little bit later on.
Okay.
But they're like, so initially their parents aren't suspicious of suicide, but then they're like, well, we have to consider. You know, like they're not kind of ruling anything out and they're not being like, oh, not our son, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, where was I? Andrew was said by his father to be absent-minded, not streetwise, and potentially vulnerable. He was, quote, a deep character who did not get worked up or moody.
Kind of getting an idea of the sort of kid. Yeah,
yeah,
very, like, calm.
He seems like an interesting young man.
Yeah.
Although age 14, as I mentioned, he looked younger, perhaps about 12.
Right.
He was quite small for his age. He wore really strong prescription glasses. He's deaf in his left ear, but he's got also a distinctive double ridge on his right ear, about here, like where the top of the ear is. There's like a double ridge.
Oh, okay.
And we'll post a photo of it in the Instagram because it's very identifiable.
Okay, yeah.
He had light brown hair but was planning to dye it black.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, why not?
You know, around this time, this was like full-on Tumblr era, like emo.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's really into metal bands. Andrew owned a couple of mobile phones between the ages of 10 and 12, but he didn't really use them and he ended up losing them both, like misplacing and losing them.
Mm-hmm.
He was given a new phone for his 12th birthday, but also rarely used this and didn't want to replace it when he lost that months before his disappearance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When his parents offered to replace the lost phones, he said that he would prefer a new Xbox.
Okay.
But, yeah, I don't know. I'm going to talk about those lost phones.
Because
I think it's a weird detail that he kept losing phones. Not just not using them, putting them in a drawer and not using them, but losing them.
And not wanting another one.
Yeah.
I feel like around that time, it's easy to put myself in his shoes because we're like around this age group. So I'm thinking back to how I was around then.
At 14, I would have done anything for a phone.
Exactly.
Yeah. You would
have been like, absolutely, I don't care if I don't use it that much. I want a phone because everyone else has a phone.
Yeah. But then if he's not really like concerned with the social side of things, but then that also suggests something else as well.
Yes.
Andrew was into video games and metal music. He was last seen wearing a black Slipknot t-shirt, black jeans, trainers, a watch on his left wrist, and carrying a black canvas satchel with patches of rock and metal bands on it. You can just picture him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I would have looked almost identical to him
at
that age. So let's talk about the lead up to the last time Andrew was seen. During the 2007 school summer holidays, which according to Wikipedia is July to September,
okay.
It says is usually July to September, and I was like,
"What do you mean? Does it change?"
Yeah, I don't know. I said that's
Did
why
you
I said
know that in America, their
seasons.
Yes, it's on different days. I'd learned this recently.
I know.
What the fuck, America?
Yeah, look.
Well, like a lot of countries, apparently.
Yeah, I know. And
I think Canada as well.
I don't know, but look, we have some you know, transatlantic listeners.
For anyone unaware, because I was unaware of the way you guys do things, here, the first day of summer is the 1st of December. The first day of winter is the 1st of June. It's like always the same.
Yeah, you can set your watch to it.
Yeah.
yeah, it's wild, hey?
Yeah.
And just like, and not even like the first of a random month. It's like the a random 12th. Day.
Yeah. I do not understand it.
No, I don't understand it.
I'm not saying it's bad, but I also just don't understand it.
Yeah, this is our first record back from the US election as well. So for anyone in the United States, I don't know, sorry or congratulations, depending on who you voted for.
I think probably listeners of our podcast, it would be a sorry.
Commiserations.
Yeah.
That really sucks. Anyway, so yes, the summer holidays, whenever they were in the UK, Andrew's parents had suggested that he travel alone to London to stay with his grandma, but he chose not to. Don't know why. I think he was just like, nah, I'm good.
If he likes being at home, then...
And playing the Xbox, he's probably like, nah, I'm just going to like, yeah.
Grandma doesn't have an Xbox.
No, and grandma smells funny. And so the train from South Yorkshire to London is about 2.5 hours on average, just for your reference.
Yeah.
Also during the school holidays, one of the teachers from Andrew's school killed himself by hanging.
Oh.
Mm. Not necessarily connected, but I'm going to touch on this later.
Yeah.
At the time of his disappearance, Andrew was 8 days into the new school year after returning from the summer holidays. In the days leading up to his disappearance, Andrew twice chose to break his... No, sorry. So on Wikipedia, it says he twice chose to break his normal routine, but his dad says that, no, this only happened once.
Okay.
So his parents reported that he told them he walked home from school rather than taking the school bus, walking the 4 mile or 6.4K route from school to his home, which would have taken him about an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And so
it's a long walk.
It's a long walk. And it was so out of his usual routine.
Yeah.
And
unnecessary. Like, unnecessary. There was no reason.
No reason. His dad did say, like, it was a nice day, but, like, there was no reason for it.
Did he give any reason?
I don't think they asked him, because I think it was, like, he broke his normal routine, and this was the week before.
Yeah.
And so it was just, like, okay, that's weird, and then he went missing. Was he meeting someone on that walk? Did he still have his phone? You know what I mean? These are the things. Anyway, we're going to talk about some theories. The evening before the day of the disappearance was described by Gosden's father, that's Andrew Gosden, as uneventful. The family ate together as usual. They all washed the dishes afterwards. Andrew spent an hour assembling a puzzle on the computer with his dad. He then watched some comedy programs on television, including Mock the Week and That Mitchell and Webb Look with his mum. On the morning of his disappearance, Andrew had difficulty waking up and seemed particularly irritable. His mother has stated that this was unusual, as he was normally awake on time. At 8:05 a.m., Andrew left his house in his school clothes with his bag and stuff and was witnessed walking across the local park called Westfield Park to his usual bus stop by the Reverend, who was a family friend. Alan Murray, who was sitting on a bench in the park... Oh, sorry. Because I put a full stop after Rev, like, you know, like Reverend, like I just finished it there, but it's Reverend Alan Murray, who was sitting on a bench in the park.
Okay.
Fuck. Okay. Instead of taking the school bus, Andrew diverted from his usual route and walked to a cash machine at the local garage where he withdrew £200 from his bank account.
Very unusual.
Yes. Andrew did actually have £214 in his account, but the ATM would only allow withdrawals in £20 increments, so he was only able to take out £200. Andrew was captured on a neighbour's CCTV system returning home after everyone had left for the day. At home, Andrew placed his uniform in the washing machine and his blazer on the back of his chair. He changed into casual clothes, the black Slipknot shirt, the black jeans. He took his bag with the patches of rock and metal bands. He also took his wallet, keys, and a PlayStation Portable or PSP console. No other possessions were identified as missing. It was quickly established that he hadn't taken his passport with him, so there was no chance of him hopping a flight. or I guess across the ferry or anything like that. Andrew's father stated that his son didn't appear to have taken a jumper or a coat with him and had also not taken the charger for the PSP. He also left around £100 in cash that he'd saved from birthdays.
Left it there?
Yep. At 8:30 a.m, Andrew departed the house and was seen heading down Littlemore Lane towards Westfield Park on a neighbour's CCTV. He then walked to Doncaster? The English would say Doncaster, hey?
Yeah. I think you're saying it with an accent.
Yeah. So it's Doncaster?
I don't know. Doncaster.
Doncaster Railway Station, and purchased a one-way ticket to London.
So that's 2.5 hours away.
Yes. So ostensibly he could have made it there and back within the day without his family knowing.
Mm.
But he purchased a one-way ticket to London. This cost £31.40, and the ticket seller recorded that she'd told Andrew that a return ticket was just 50p more, but he insisted on a single ticket, like a one-way ticket.
Okay, so he had no intention of coming back then.
Apparently. For non-British listeners, 50p is about $1 Australian, and it's even less than a US dollar, so it's, you know, a minuscule amount for a return ticket, but he insisted. But I don't know. You know when you're like, when you're 14 and maybe he's not like too socially good, not too socially like adept, and you've got your plan of what you want to do and someone offers something that's outside of the plan, and even though it would make more sense to go with it, you've got your plan, so you stick with your plan.
Yeah, yeah, yes.
You know?
Yeah, but his plan initially must have been just one way, though. Otherwise, he would have got a return
ticket. Yeah, but unless the ticket machine was confusing or, like, you know, like, or he was like, can I get a ticket to London? And she was like, one way, and he was just like, yep. And then she was like, you know, it's only 50p more for a return. And what if he didn't understand the question or, like, he was flustered?
But he was a smart kid.
He was, but he was also still a kid.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, so, yes, he only purchased the one way. At 9:35 a.m, Andrew was seen boarding the train to King's Cross Station alone. A woman reported sitting next to him. She described Andrew as being quiet and engrossed in playing his video game.
Also odd that he didn't bring his charger, considering, like, it's a two-hour trip.
Yeah.
At least. And then...
Or any extra money.
Yeah.
When Andrew failed to attend morning lessons at his school, his teachers tried to contact his parents. Remember, this kid had 100% attendance, so it was very odd that he wasn't at school. The school believed that they'd called Andrew's parents and left a message, but the school had actually dialed the number of the parents either above or below Andrew's, so they dialed the wrong number, and the message was left on the wrong person's phone. He arrived at King's Cross Station in London at about 11:20 a.m. He was captured on CCTV leaving the main entrance to the station at 11:25 a.m, and this was the last confirmed sighting of him. That evening, the Gosden family and a family friend sat down for dinner, thinking that Andrew was either in the converted cellar playing video games or in his room doing homework. When the family discovered that he wasn't in the house, they initially thought that he could be with a friend or a neighbour and had maybe lost track of time. Andrew's parents telephoned his friends, who told them that Andrew wasn't there and he actually hadn't been at school that day.
Oh, God, that would have been so scary.
The panic, yeah. At around 7 p.m, the police were called. Andrew's sister Charlotte said, quote, "It was just a complete panic. We initially thought something must have happened on the way to school. When we found that he hadn't even been to school, even tried to go to school, that was even more worrying." Charlotte and the father Kevin scouted Andrew's route to school and areas nearby, but found nothing. Obviously, we know that he walked to the train station, like, willingly, but they didn't know that at this point. Within 3 hours of discovering Andrew's disappearance, a missing person leaflet was produced for circulation. Andrew's family and friends searched the area until nightfall, and that weekend the police searched the bushland near the family home in Doncaster but found nothing. 3 days later, after speaking to the woman who'd sold Andrew his train ticket, the police confirmed that he'd travelled to London. The ticket seller at Doncaster Station remembered Gosden because he had refused the return ticket, despite it only costing that small amount more. Andrew's dad later stated that the purchase of a single ticket rather than a return didn't seem that strange to him because Andrew knew multiple people in London with whom he could have stayed. So,
okay.
He had, like, family and friends that lived there.
Yeah, okay.
Initial searches in London focused on the Chislehurst and Sidcup area, or Chislehurst and Sidcup areas where the Gosden family had relatives.
Okay.
And I bet at this point the family is, like, almost relieved that he's gone to London. Like, I bet they're, like...
If they know a lot of people in London, they're probably like, okay, he's run away.
That's what he's gone there for. Yeah. At least we know people in London. We know he's, like, you know, he's got a bit of money on him.
Yeah.
He's probably gone there. But I bet they're also like, why the fuck hasn't he contacted? Why hasn't anyone in the family contacted us? Like,
yeah.
So the family then travelled to London and handed out flyers and posters in the vicinity of anywhere they felt Andrew would have had any interest in visiting, particularly museums and exhibitions, because he was known to like those kinds of things. South Yorkshire Police said it asked the British Transport Police to search the CCTV footage within 2 days of Andrew going missing, but the British Transport Police couldn't pick him out from the crowds. 3 weeks later, CCTV footage at King's Cross Station was again reviewed by the BTP, that's the British Transport Police, but this time an officer was sent by South Yorkshire Police as well, and this time, lo and behold, they were able to find Andrew in the crowd.
Yeah.
The CCTV image of Andrew leaving the main concourse at King's Cross was circulated in the media, accompanied by a close-up of his right ear, which has the distinctive double ridge. Kevin Gosden, that's the father, claimed that the CCTV footage from the buses and the adjacent tube station was not requested by the authorities, and that the reported sightings of Gosden at a Pizza Hut at Covent Garden were not followed up. So the family is pretty critical of the London and the Transport Police at this point.
Yeah.
The family and the police investigated the possibility that Andrew had gone to London to meet someone with whom he'd met over the internet. This is like, you know, the early days of the internet when safeguarding wasn't as present in everywhere. But
I feel like also with teenagers, that's just kind of like,
yeah,
you've got to consider that.
Yeah. But there was no evidence for this at all. Andrew didn't use the computer at home.
But he used Xbox, right?
He used his Xbox, yes, but I don't think it was connected to the internet.
Oh, okay.
His father stated that Andrew didn't have an email address and had not set up an online account on his Xbox.
Okay.
Or his PSP.
Right.
The police took the computers from Andrew's school and Doncaster Library, but their digital forensic investigations found no trace of any activity by Andrew.
Okay.
Investigators sent the unique serial number of Andrew's PSP to Sony HQ, who found that there was no record of an account being set up or any communication established on the device.
Okay.
The Sony PSP 1000, I guess that's the name of it, had a DNAS authentication system, which meant that Sony was able to see when a PSP had connected to the internet. His had not.
Okay. Well, good on the cops for following that up, I guess.
Yeah. The only PC in his house was his sister's laptop, which had only been in her possession for 8 weeks. She'd only just recently got it. Andrew's sister has stated that he didn't seem interested in social media or connecting with other people through the internet, as he, quote, just didn't seem social.
Mm.
A year later, after Andrew's disappearance.
God.
Yeah. The head teacher at Macaulay Catholic High School, Mary Lawrence, travelled to London with staff and pupils and distributed 15,000 leaflets. After the initial CCTV trail went cold, the investigation moved on to trying to establish why Andrew had decided to go to London. I also want to jump in here and say I think it's remarkable that in London there's no more CCTV footage of him.
I know. Like, you would think there would just be cameras everywhere.
So, for reference, the City of London has been named among the most surveilled cities in the world due to the presence of around 627,707 CCTV cameras are dispersed over the business area, streets and transit networks. That is 73 cameras for every 1,000 persons in London.
Whoa.
For reference, Sydney, one of the largest cities in Australia, has around 60,000 CCTV cameras, so like 10% of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, how the fuck...
Potentially, is it a case of there is footage of him, but it's just it hasn't been found?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Given the fact that the police, and you want to see, I'll show you after this, the CCTV footage of him leaving King's Cross. It is so clear. Like, yeah. I don't know how they missed it.
Yeah.
And the fact that they sent one South Yorkshire police officer and he was like, oh, there he is. It seems like maybe they just had so much going on.
Yeah. They just didn't have time.
Yeah. When were the London bombings?
2006?
I thought it was 07. Hang on. 2005.
Okay.
So they're going to be on high terror alert.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they're just like a missing kid.
We've got other bigger stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. So an early theory put forward by the family was that Andrew had decided to go sightseeing. Andrew was known to have enjoyed London and would visit the capital with his family to see his grandparents, aunts, uncles and family friends who lived there. He also enjoyed visiting London's museums and exhibitions, and travel on buses was free for children at the time of Andrew's disappearance, so he could have gotten around really easily.
Yeah, I guess. But he knew that they were going to find out that he'd been missing.
Yeah, if he hadn't gone back before the day.
No, because he wasn't at school. So
but unless he got home before they got home and deleted the message, a la Bart Simpson.
Simpsons.
Yeah. And the Try and Save app.
Risky, though.
Risky, yeah. But you're a 14-year-old. You'd take those stupid risks.
Again, though, a smart 14-year-old.
Yeah, but arguably...
They did say he wasn't street smart.
Yeah, yeah, and arguably you and I were smart 14-year-olds, and I definitely would have done something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Maybe academically smart, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, he's not that social. He doesn't have street smarts, as his dad said.
Yeah.
Andrew's sister travelled to London to hand out CVs when she was 14 to gain work experience, and Andrew's father had speculated that maybe he was doing the same. One event identified by Kevin Gosden, that's the dad, as a possible reason for his son to have travelled to London was the 2007 YouTube gathering, which was going on at the time, but there was no evidence that Andrew attended this event or had any interest in YouTube.
I was going to say, did he watch YouTube?
There's no evidence for it, but there are, on the Reddit thread, there are a whole bunch of people that have posted videos of that event where there's a kid that kind of resembles Andrew in the crowd.
Okay.
And there's a few moments in that video where people are like, yes, 1:45, you see Andrew standing behind this person, but it's just a kid with glasses and a black shirt with kind of like Andrew's hair, which, as you said, was the look of the time for anyone that was a little bit emo.
Yeah.
The family also looked into music concerts that Andrew might have gone to London to attend. There were a few on.
Okay.
So the night of his disappearance, 30 Seconds to Mars played the Brixton Academy, and Sixth played a rescheduled farewell show at the Carling Academy. The venue is within walking distance from King's Cross.
Okay, yep.
The Sixth gig was originally scheduled for 4 p.m. on 7th of July and was to be the last show with the original vocalist.
What are they called? Sick?
Sixth, so S-I-K-T-H.
Hate that name.
Yeah.
Sixth.
Sixth, yeah. I mean, guessing that's how it's pronounced. It could be Sixth. Like, who knows?
They're like a metal band, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Mick Neville, retired head of the Metropolitan Police's Central Images Unit, believed the sixth theory was plausible. He appealed for anyone with photos or videos taken at the gig to come forward so that, quote, super recognizers could scan the images. Now, let's pause on super recognizers.
You're going to say that you're a super recognizer.
I took a test and I'm a super recognizer.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's so Eagle Eye Emma. It's a real
Eagle
thing.
Eagle Eye Emma is real. So this test, I took a few of them, obviously.
I want to do one.
Yeah, they're online. It's really easy to take. And I'm sure, I feel like, and this is not like a feminist thing, I think that women are better at recognizing faces than men.
Yeah, okay.
So you're probably going to be better.
I'll tell you what. I'll tell you who's terrible at recognizing faces. Oh, my God. And, like, he thinks that the wrong people are. So, like, there's Emma Wiggle, right? There's a video clip of Emma Wiggle where it's early in the career and she lost a lot of weight towards the end.
Yeah.
So earlier she's not big at all, but she's just like a little bit fuller.
Fuller, yeah.
And she's got a different hairstyle and her makeup's a little bit different.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's a different person, 100%. I was like, no, it's not. She's just got like a different hairdo and different makeup. Like, he's the sort of person who would be fooled by Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
I'm going to come in with my hair done and he's going to be like, who are you?
Yeah. What are you doing in my house?
Where's my wife?
Yeah. So, yes, super recognizers are a thing. And...
And you are one.
Yeah. So it was the score out of 15. And if you got above 10, then you could be a super recognizer. And I got 14.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to do one.
Yeah.
Oh, do you know what I just realized?
What?
We forgot
the fucking cards.
Yeah.
Fuck. We might be super recognizers, but we're super forgetters.
Yeah, absolutely. We see and then immediately forget.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Back to this awful, awfulness. Okay. Neville, so that's the Mick Neville, the retired Met Police officer. Yeah. Central Images Unit officer, whatever. He wanted to state, there is a canal nearby. It's Regent's Canal. It is unclear whether this was ever dredged or checked.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Although Andrew was a fan of similar metal bands, there's no evidence that he attended these shows or that he even liked these bands. This is, I guess this is before Spotify.
I guess also it was still a time period where you could buy physical tickets. Like you could just go, like I remember
go to box
you
office.
Go to,
Do you remember live music? Live clothing used to sell tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Stuff? Like big day out tickets, you'd go to live.
Like you could buy them online and then go and collect them from there if you wanted to.
I used to just buy them from live.
Yeah.
And they were, it was like a, oh, yeah, I've got to go to live and buy my like Soundwave tickets or whatever. Yeah.
I miss physical tickets. You could use them as bookmarks and they looked like it was
cool.
Yeah, it was a good way to like show off.
Yeah. I mean, you can still print them now, but it's not the same. They're not shiny.
No, they're not colourful.
So, yeah, sorry, my point was like he could have just bought a ticket, whereas now I feel like there'd be some kind of credit card trace or something you'd be able to tell.
Now you'd be able to tell everything about the person.
Yeah.
The Finnish band, like Finnish as in Finland, band HIM did a promotional signing at the HMV store on Oxford Street on Monday, 17th of September, and performed an invitation-only show the same evening at the Borderline venue in Soho. The only way to get into this show was by completing various contests and giveaways. This lead was investigated by the family with help from HIM, the band themselves, but it didn't produce any meaningful leads. Gosden's father also stated that he suspected that Andrew might have gone to London to do something for which he felt it was easier to seek forgiveness than permission.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, like maybe he was like, my parents are going to say no about this for to do this, so I'll just go and do it and then I'll apologise later maybe. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Just so out of character by the sounds of it.
Speaking in 2009, Kevin Gosden speculated on the reason for Andrew's disappearance. Quote, did he decide to do the Reginald Perrin thing and reinvent himself, or was there something troubling him that he felt he couldn't tell us? In my heart, I still think his disappearance was a spur-of-the-moment thing. End quote. Now, one of Andrew's favourite television programmes was The Fall and Rise of Reginald Perrin, in which Leonard Rossiter plays a man who fakes his death in order to start a new life.
Oh.
Mm.
Okay.
And his parents, the whole way through this, when I was researching it, I kept writing in my notes like, oh, but the parents aren't considering this. And then I'd have to delete it later because the parents would then go on to say something like, but you know, it could have been this. And they're like, they're very open and considerate and like...
Well, look, if the kid is smart, really smart, then the parents are probably quite smart.
Yeah. And I think it also speaks volumes that they didn't push their religion on the kids.
It sounds like they're probably quite open-minded. They're willing to look at different viewpoints and stuff, which means that if people put forward theories that they're like, well, we don't think it's that, they're probably willing to go, but hey, maybe it could be.
And I'm going to touch on that open-mindedness in a bit.
Okay.
Since his disappearance, there have been a few sightings. An article in The Times, written on the first anniversary of Andrew's disappearance, reported that at the time, 122 possible sightings had been reported from all over Britain, including 45 from London, 11 from Brighton, which is about an hour south of London. Andrew's father said that there were two or three sightings within the first week of the disappearance that seemed credible, partly because the way the witnesses claimed Andrew spoke to them.
Okay.
So I don't know if he had like particular mannerisms that the tipsters mentioned.
Yeah.
Andrew's family believed that the most plausible sighting was the one which placed him at the Pizza Hut on Oxford Street, which is about an hour's walk from King's Cross, on the day he went missing. The family claims this lead was never investigated by police.
Can it be now?
I don't know. You'd think that...
Maybe that footage is...
Lost. Yeah. There were also unconfirmed sightings of him at a few of those mentioned gigs around London. So a few of those gigs that I mentioned, people were like, yeah, there was a kid there that matched his description. And there's blurry photos, which I'll show you some of them. There were additional unconfirmed sightings on Oxford Street on Monday, 17th of September, and the next day when Andrew was said to have been sleeping in a park in Southwark. Andrew was reportedly seen getting off a local train from Waterloo at Mortlake Station on the 19th of September. That's 5 days after he disappeared. And then possibly walking up Sheen Lane along Upper Richmond Road. On 19 September, it was reported that he appeared to have obtained warmer clothes. A woman reported a potential sighting of Andrew on 17th of October. That's about a month after he disappeared.
So September, October, it would still be cold.
Starting to get cold, yeah, because it would have just, they've just come out.
Oh, they would have just had summer, so it would be getting cold.
Would be starting to get cold, yeah.
Yeah.
A woman reported a potential sighting of Andrew on 17 October. This was in Covent Garden. She spoke to a boy and stated that he looked like a boy she'd seen on TV that was missing, but the boy denied that he was Andrew Gosden. Later, other reported sighting locations included a park in Streatham, then further afield in South Wales, Birkenhead and Plymouth. In 2009, two possible sightings were reported, one outside the Natural History Museum, the other in a pub in Southend. None of these sightings could be verified. However, according to Andrew's father, none of the sightings were followed up by the police.
None of them?
Apparently not.
Okay, that's a bit slack.
Oh, but hang on. It says here. It says here as if I didn't write it. the woman who reported the Covent Garden sighting was not spoken to until 6 weeks after the disappearance. So I think they were just really slow.
Okay. Yeah. Following. So up. They were followed up, but just at a snail's pace.
Yeah, because it's also like if there's a sighting,
You need to go right then and there.
Yeah, because obviously it's not worth anything 6 weeks after the event.
Mm-hmm.
This is another area of frustration for the family, the lack of police action on the tips that were coming through. And also the police really focused on Kevin Goslin, the father, as a suspect early on. So, yeah.
Wasn't he, like, at work or something?
Yeah, he was. And also there's CCTV footage of him, of Andrew walking to
alone.
The...
Alone?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the issue was, but anyway. In November 2008, this is like a year and a bit after the disappearance, a man visited Leominster Police Station, or Lowminster, I don't know. It's Leominster spelling, in Herefordshire, West Midlands, and used the intercom system to talk to a police officer stating that he had information about Andrew. Because it was the evening, the intercom system was in use rather than a staffed reception. And so by the time an officer arrived to take the details, the man had left. Police later appealed for him to get back in touch, and subsequently, an individual claiming to be the man at the police station wrote anonymously to the BBC after it featured the case on The One Show. This man gave details of a possible sighting of Andrew Gosden in Shrewsbury. It hasn't been confirmed whether that was the same man on both occasions, why he left, if it was the same man.
How long was he waiting for a staff member to come out?
I don't know. I'm guessing like... it would have been like a 20-minute wait or something. Like, let's say there's no one at the police station, so they've got this intercom. So he goes, hey, I've got information on that missing kid. And they're like, okay, wait there. We'll get someone to the police station shortly.
Yeah.
And then I guess it's not an emergency, and you know how slow the police can be.
Yeah.
And that lead ended up going nowhere.
Mm, that's a shame.
Yeah. In September 2009, so about 2 years after the disappearance, the family released age-progressed images of what Andrew Gosden might look like age 16. This was to mark the second year of his disappearance. In November 2009, Kevin Gosden appealed to the gay community to help find his son. Andrew's family considered the possibility that he could have been struggling with his sexual orientation. It's known that children who are gay or lesbian are much more likely to run away than those who are heterosexual.
Yeah, I guess if his parents are quite religious as well, maybe he's worried that they won't accept him.
Yep. Remember, he stopped going to church as well.
Yeah. Not long before, right?
18 months before.
Yeah.
Kevin Gosden, the father, said, quote, "We are a pretty open family, so I've wondered if he was gay or struggling with his sexual identity and found it too awkward to raise. If he is gay, we don't have any issue with it. He is loved unconditionally by both my wife and I and his sister," end quote. In May 2011, that's what I meant when I said they're quite progressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. In May 2011, the family paid a private company to conduct a sonar search of the River Thames using the same technology that's used to locate victims and objects at sea. Mm-hmm. The family had said that they had to consider the possibility that Andrew was no longer alive.
Yeah.
Kevin said, quote, "None of us in our family can imagine that Andrew can be about for this long without making contact of any kind, because he was always quite a caring, thoughtful personality."
Yeah. Like that. That's what I keep coming back to is that I think it sounds like he loved his family.
Yeah.
And so to not even send like a note being like, look, I'm safe, but I'm not coming home or something like that, it seems odd.
The quote goes on, "We just find it impossible to conceive that he would allow us to go through all this for so long without even some kind of a message to let us know he's okay."
Yeah.
I guess we start thinking more about, could he have been suicidal and hidden it well, or could he have been abducted? No trace of Andrew was found during that search that they paid for, though it did find another body.
They found another body.
Yeah.
Hang on, that's noisy.
Yeah, sorry. So the identity of the person who they found in the Thames hasn't been released, but I've read that it was a murder because the body had concrete boots on.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So they found another missing person, just not their son.
Just not the son, yeah.
Makes me think that, like, they should, this sonar stuff, they should
just be running all the time, just up and along the Thames.
Exactly. Yeah. Or like any rivers. I wonder how many people are in the Swan River.
I don't think the Swan River is that deep, is it? But also there's sharks in the Swan River that get eaten.
Oh, yeah.
In 2016, Andrew's parents appealed for information on the BBC's flagship current affairs television program, Panorama. The following year, to mark the 10th anniversary of his disappearance, the charity Missing People made Andrew Gosden the face of their Find Every Child campaign, with Andrew featuring on billboards and advertisements throughout the UK. On 12th of September 2017, the police made a fresh appeal for information. A statement on the South Yorkshire Police Facebook page said police were or had been investigating requests for similar optical prescriptions to Andrew's. Remember, he had those really strong prescription glasses?
Oh, right. So if he had in London needed to...
Or anywhere in the UK had needed to get another pair of glasses or whatever. They requested documents from the passport office, national insurance, and they circulated his DNA fingerprints and dental and health records. The tone of the statement suggested that the police believed Andrew might still be alive.
Okay.
The police undertake annual checks on John Doe's and hospitals as well.
Yeah, yeah.
In June 2018, the Gosden family said that someone had reported an online conversation with a person with the username Andy Roo. Remember, his parents called him Roo?
Yes, Roo.
Who claimed that their boyfriend had left them and they needed £200 to cover rent. When someone offered to send them money, the user claimed they didn't have a bank account as they had, quote, left home when they were 14. This link was investigated by police, but the person wasn't identified.
Oh, interesting.
In July...
Did you say boyfriend?
Yeah.
Okay, so that would support the theory the that maybe he was gay. Yeah.
In July 2018, to mark Andrew's 25th birthday, two updated age progression photographs were released by the family.
It was 25th.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, well, he'd be 31 now.
Oh, Jesus.
It was also announced that the band Muse would help publicise the campaign to find Andrew. In October 2019, another age progression image of Andrew was released. On 11 January 2022, South Yorkshire Police stated that on 8 December 2021... following an anonymous tip-off, detectives had arrested two men, aged 38 and 45, on suspicion of kidnapping and human trafficking. The older man's arrest was also connected with possession of indecent images of children. Both men were released under investigation while inquiries continued. They are believed to be the first arrests made in connection to the disappearance. The following
day... how were they linked to Andrew?
We don't know yet.
Oh, so they've said this is linked to Andrew's case, but...
So Kevin Gosden, the father, was told that these people were arrested in relation to the disappearance, but he wasn't told any extra information.
Oh, God, except that it was for sex trafficking and having
possibly
child exploitation material.
The following day, it was announced that numerous devices were seized from the men for forensic investigation, which police said could take 6 months to a year to analyse. Kevin Gosden thanked the public for their support and said that the family didn't know any more than what had been released in the police statement. In January 2023, South Yorkshire Police said that the men remained under investigation and that subsequent devices were also under examination. In September 2023, it was reported that both the men had been released without charge and they were not involved with Andrew Gosden's disappearance. Two things. First of all, how do you get released on bail if you've been suspected or found in possession of child exploitation material, and two, how do you then get released without charge?
Get off, it happens so often.
It makes me think there was like an issue with the police procedure.
A lot of the time it'll be a technicality, and like it'll be everyone knows that they're guilty, but it can't be like for the process, it can't be, you know, it's not fair or whatever.
Shoot them in the fucking head.
Yeah.
So that's basically all the details we know about the disappearance of Andrew Gosden. But one more thing I wanted to add in here. About 10 months after the disappearance of Andrew, so this is back in, well, this would be 2008 now.
2007.
So, Andrew disappeared in 2007 towards September or July, September. And so this is 10 months after. So this was 2008. Alex Slowly, a 16-year-old gifted maths student, disappeared from central London 10 months after Gosden. No evidence of his fate has been found and his current whereabouts remain unknown.
So he's missing too?
Yep. In September 2017, Mick Neville, the retired head of the Metropolitan Police's Central Images Unit, who we've heard from already, he drew comparisons between Slowly's disappearance and that of the other bright maths student who disappeared, Andrew Gosden. Because, you know, less than a year apart, two gifted math students, teenage boys.
Around the same age.
Around the same age, yeah.
Yeah.
Gosden's last known location was King's Cross, and when slowly disappeared, he was thought to have been on his way to Islington, which is just 2 miles from King's Cross.
Did his family know where he was going or anything, or did he also just kind of up and
I think his family, I think he was from London, so it was not like weird that he was there.
Yeah.
But it's just the disappearances are close together. They're kind of the same kind of kid, same
Yeah,
kind
but
of
I
age.
Mean, like, did his parents know why he was in that location at that time?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I didn't really look into that.
Yeah, because I'm just wondering if it's a case of, like, he has also just randomly...
Yeah, it was like a luring situation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Quote, "It raises the question," said Neville, "on whether there is a serial killer on the prowl. The potential links between these cases needs to be recognised."
Yeah.
So let's talk about the theories. Number one, Andrew left to go and see a gig or an exhibition or a landmark. This one is favoured by his family, but why he doesn't return, we can only speculate. So was he killed or taken? Who knows? No evidence has been found to suggest that, but who knows? I guess the only evidence is that he didn't return.
Yeah.
Number two, Andrew was being groomed and was lured down to London. How this would occur, I'm not sure. Everyone claims he was never on the internet, but... could it have been someone already in his life?
Could he have had a secret phone?
Well, he said he lost his phone.
Yeah.
Was that confirmed?
But what I'm thinking is his parents got him this phone, then he lost it and was like, oh, I don't really care. Did he have a phone already?
Well, that's what I mean. Did he say he lost it, but he actually kept it?
Yeah, yeah. Did he already had a phone. So yeah. When his parents bought him one, he was like, cool, thanks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or actually, like, I'd rather an Xbox. Like,
yeah.
Because I've already got a phone. Burner, yeah. Mm,
exactly. Because he obviously had some money.
Yeah, yeah. He had £214 in his account and £100 in cash.
Yeah.
It's like almost as much as I have in my savings.
Yeah, so maybe he had years before...
Yeah.
Bought himself a phone.
Yeah.
And
or had someone given him a phone.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not casting any kind of connotations about churches, but was it someone at the church? Yeah. Was it someone at his Cub Scout group?
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Was it someone at that summer school that he went to?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, whatever. He's a smart kid. Teens are good at hiding things from their parents.
Yeah. I bet he knew how to do all sorts of stuff, like hiding your
IP and things
IP
like
address
that,
yeah. And yeah.
I don't know what kind of phone Andrew had been given by his parents, but just for reference, the first iPhones with internet capability were released in 2007. Number three, did he go down to London to harm himself? As I mentioned, his teacher had killed themselves during the summer holidays, and we do know that when someone dies by a suicide, there can be that kind of domino effect.
Contagion.
Yep, but why would he go all the way to London to do this? Maybe so his family didn't have to find him.
That's what I was going to say.
Maybe because he really likes London, and it's like a bit of a symbolic... ending of life.
Yeah.
Again, this is pure speculation. One commenter on Reddit offered this personal anecdote that is a possible explanation. And this is from user The Zowist. They say, quote, "When I was around Andrew's age and spending some time in London, I had a mental health episode. Late one night while walking with my grandmother along the Thames, I had a panic attack which grew into a panic or anxiety disorder over the next few weeks. I would often have trouble sleeping at night and suffered delusions. The major delusion was that I feared I would hurt people if I went to sleep and planned opportunities to leave home / put distance between me and my family. I did contemplate suicide once in a hotel in Edinburgh a couple of weeks later, but thankfully did not go through with it. My family had no idea anything was going on with me outside of increased irritability." So there's that. Four, another theory acknowledged by the family was that potentially Andrew was struggling with his sexuality and maybe had gone to London to start a new life. And five, someone else on Reddit had a really good theory. User B Diddy Bo said, quote, "I believe he planned to be home by tea time, so neither parent would know that he went out. I know the school would have called and left a message if they had dialed the correct number. I believe he planned to either delete the school voicemail or claim he'd returned home after arriving at school because he was unwell. Back to him being lured, I know it could be a number of scenarios, but I think about two in particular. One, he went to London to buy something rare like band merch or something else he was interested in or something he couldn't get in his hometown. In this scenario, it's a stranger. Or two, he was going to London to meet with a fellow intellectual, somebody he already knew and trusted. This could have been appealing to Andrew as school may no longer have been intellectually stimulating for him. In this scenario, his abductor is known to him."
Could be someone he met at that
gifted and talented program.
Yeah.
Yep. Because that was people from all over the UK.
Yeah.
Or was it issues at church or the Boy Scouts that caused him to run away?
Mm.
So, coming to the end now, Gosden's family have kept his room as he left it and have not changed the locks on the house, as Gosden was known to have taken his key. Gosden's bank account has not been used since he made the withdrawal on the morning of 14 September 2007. I know we have a few listeners in the UK, so if anyone has any information, you can contact South Yorkshire Police on 101, which is their non-emergency number. You can also contact the charity Missing People on 116000, or of course you can contact Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111. In an interview for International Missing Children's Day, Andrew's mother, Glenys, was asked how much of her day-to-day life has changed since Andrew went missing. And she had what I felt was a very insightful answer. Mm. So, you know, I mentioned that the parents obviously seem very smart, and I think this is kind of evidence of that. She said, quote, "Your life seems to be split, and it's like it's on two layers, that at one level you're functioning and continuing with day-to-day activities, but on another level, part of you is stuck and you just can't move on. It's almost like having two separate parts of you, almost a bit like oil and water."
Yeah. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
And yeah.
And that is the story of Andrew Gosden.
Wow. Okay. These ones drive me nuts, not knowing.
Yeah. And if we feel that, imagine what the family feels.
What the family would feel. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I mean, it just feels like it's such a long time ago, but.
Yeah. And as his father said, like, he would have gotten in contact.
Yeah, that's the thing I keep coming back to, is that surely at some point, once he was settled, he would be able to write them a letter or something and say, just so you know, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Like, what's the purpose of punishing them?
Yeah, but that's the case. So, yeah, if you know anything, get in contact with those authorities. And that's the story. What are you going to be talking about in the next?
Yeah, I don't know how to, like, wrap that up.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess it's open-ended, like the case.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what I'm doing next week. As you well know, things have been all over the place for me. So
there's a bit.
My hair looks crazy right now.
I
look insane. I am insane.
All right. Well, thanks for your ears, people. Continue to listen. Continue to like. Continue to tell your friends. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with another case.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.